Previously on the Tony Kornheiser Show.
Well, Gary did this earlier in the show. Do you want to say who you're picking in the Super Bowl?
Oh, that'll keep people tuned in. Stay tuned for that when we return.
No, we're not. Well,
No.
It's either now or never.
Now or never.
Don't miss your chance.
I'll take New England just because.
Michael?
Oh, in the Waste Management Open, I think Matthew Wolf, the amateur from Oklahoma State, is going to surprise a lot of golf fans.
Golf
really
again.
Interesting swing.
I think Wilbon's going to be there.
Get
this
your
weekend.
Email ready.
The Tony Kornheiser Show is on now.
All righty, then. We are live at Chatter on what promises to be a warm day without rain, which is great in Washington, D.C. We're at the corner of Jennifer Street Northwest and Wisconsin Avenue Northwest. We are full serve. We are for profit. We welcome your business. We have people here today. I met a couple of women last night from Dallas. One is a massage therapist. One is a personal trainer. I said, I've got a broken rib, and she said, nothing I can do for you. Indiana, Iowa, Buffalo, Pittsburgh are all represented. Let me talk about the people who sent us books. John Urschel, who was a lineman, an offensive lineman with the Baltimore Ravens, and won the Sullivan Award in 2013 as the most outstanding amateur athlete in the United States, has written a book called Mind and Matter, A Life in Math and Football by John Urschel and Louisa Thomas. I don't know why we got it. I'm happy we got it. We got a whole bunch of books for everybody here, everybody on the show, from Tim Rowland, Strange and Obscure Stories of Washington, D.C.
Looking very forward
I'm
to that.
I'm excited
one.
About that.
And we got a novel under the pen name of Joseph White by Joe Bianchino in Latham, New York, who was
Joey
a
B.
Big
wrote
fan.
This?
Yes, he said, as I stand in the UPS store penning this letter, I'm listening to Tuesday's podcast, which opens for your request for people to stop sending things that aren't really great. I apologize, as this very clearly will not reach that threshold, but I've already addressed the packaging. My hands are tied. Enclosed, you will find a copy of Jack of All Trades, a novel that I, inspired by Nigel's example, published this month on Amazon under the pen name Joseph White. I'd also like to submit it as the official novel of the Tony Kornheiser Show. Up until this point, we had Catcher in the Rye.
Yes, but this knocks that off.
Right? Wow, and if this title is taken, I'd like to submit it as the official novel about not knowing what you want to be when you're already grown up with the Tony Kornheiser Show. There's room for that. Please feel free to give it away, read it as rejoin music, or burn it. Please don't tell me if you burn it. Also, to help assuage Nigel's anger as he deals with yet another piece of someone else's mail, assure him that I will buy a copy of Simon the Sea Cat as penance, which is very, very
it's salty, but whatever.
Salty the Sea Cat. And the Rowland family, Beth and Tim Rowland, they listen to the show all the time in the Adirondacks, which is very, very nice. Very, very nice. P.S. Tony, I've been worried silly about your back. Broken ribs are no joke. No, they're not. And I have plateaued. I've been about the same at about 60% for about a week now. This is 3 weeks in, and it still hurts, and I can't get on the ground and stretch, and I really can't do anything.
Well, full disclosure.
I can't hit a golf ball. I sure can't do that.
You're a ways away from doing that, I would imagine. But full disclosure, Michael informed me, and maybe you'll get into this during Old Guy, that you spent a lot of time in the car this weekend.
Driving to and from Delaware.
So that may or may not be an aggravating condition.
Didn't hurt while I was in the car. So let's get to the Super Bowl. And I know I'm not alone in saying this is not at all what I expected. It's not at all what anybody expected. 3-0 at the half, 13-3 at the end. There was great defense. I have to say this. I had no idea, honestly, the Patriots were this good on defense. I had no idea.
Well, they weren't.
That's because until the last 2 weeks they weren't.
Yeah. They have beaten Kansas City, which scored 32, 33 points a game. They held Los Angeles, which scored 32, 33 points a game, to nothing. Yep. To absolutely nothing. The Rams got 62 yards rushing. Now, whether or not, I have no idea what's going on with Todd Gurley.
Yeah, right.
I know that the CBS sideline report kept saying, we're going to use him. We're going to use him. I've been assured by the coaches. We're going to hand the ball to Todd. 62 yards rushing for the entire team. 229 yards passing by Jared Goff on 38 attempts. That isn't that good. The Patriots had 154 yards rushing. There are three plays that win the game. Okay, there are four plays that win the game. One of the plays is the interception in the fourth quarter down near the goal line of the New England Patriots are defending. This happens after five plays that win the game. Brandon Cooks misses a touchdown pass. It's in his arms.
Yeah.
He misses a touchdown
pass. And McCourty, to McCourty's, one of the McCourty brothers' credit, he sprints down there and grabs his arm. Now, he should have already caught it.
By the way,
but
as a result of no pass interference call last week, there were no pass interference.
They let him play. And I liked it.
They let them play. Nobody can have any problems with this.
Even let some helmet-to-helmet go.
Yeah. There were nothing nearly as egregious as the Saints play.
But you're right, there were things they could have called.
You think
that it's going to go the opposite way, but in fact, they let them play.
Interesting, your first two plays that won the game, you could equally say, or two plays that lost the game, the throw, not the interception, because that was a terrible throw.
That's right.
And the
interception was a terrible throw.
Right.
But the throw to Cooks was there. Yep.
And you could say that's a ball he should have caught.
That's a touchdown.
But a great play by McCourty
that
as well.
That ties the game.
Right.
On another one, one of the McCourtys sprinted all the way back into the end zone and knocked a pass down that could have also been a touchdown.
Yeah.
That the Patriots defense, and this is probably why Flores is going to be named head coach at Miami. Because Belichick and Flores did a great job.
Yep.
The three plays for the Patriots that won the game, Gronkowski in the middle of three Rams defenders, not only catches it, I thought rolled in without being touched, but nobody argued that.
No, I thought he was touched.
How the hell did he catch it? Either way, that's a great play.
Then Michelle gets a touchdown. Then the other two plays are Sony Michelle and Rex Burkhart's runs.
At the end.
They enable you to kill the clock. I didn't really understand. There was some notion that maybe they would go on fourth and one. Are you crazy? You kick the field goal, you make it a two-score game, which is, you see what happens. The Rams are forced to try and kick a field goal to then get a desperation heave after maybe getting the onside kick, but Zerline missed for the first time in 10 years.
So that, I agree with you on that call. That is just... That's math, and Belichick knows the odds. He knows that converting the fourth and inches
is
76% and the field goal is 83% or whatever, and he's playing the odds. So that ends the game.
Those are the plays, and including the pick by Stephon Gilmore, you know, but that was a bad pass because there's a blitz coming from Goff's right, and he can't step in. He throws it out
to single coverage.
Yeah.
We talked about this after the Chiefs Patriots game, and Romo harped on it 1,000 times. How in the hell is a 5'11" former quarterback at Kent State open? He is open on every.
Romo was saying double him.
Edelman is open, and again, Romo did it. Where they run that pass to Edelman up the middle.
He said Edelman's laughing at them.
Romo says they're going to run that formation again.
They run it again.
They do it one more time. Then the third time in a row they run it is the time they throw that long pass to Gronk. I mean, it's just how Julian Edelman catches that many balls. Second half they figured it out
and at least started to double him, but he came up huge. But at the end of the day,
you know,
you play that team, and and Belichick is like Nick Saban. It's like, if you want to beat them, you better hope they played last week and that team had their full attention. Because if he's preparing for you defensively, he's going to stop whatever
the truth of the matter is, as you sit there and watch the game, you know without a shadow of a doubt that the MVP is Bill Belichick.
Of course. He is.
The way he gets them ready to play, the way they beat suffocating a team with great offense, confusing Goff at all turns. All my notes are,
He looked totally lost.
Steve Young was saying that this morning. I mean, I'm sure he said it last night, but I saw it this morning. In the fourth quarter, down or tied, who do you want with the ball?
Nigel and I were talking about this.
Everything is John Wayne.
The three quarters is prologue. It's like you get to the fourth quarter tied 3-3, and you say, all right, who do you want in the fourth quarter? Belichick and Brady
at the
Super Bowl or the other two? And that's how it played out.
So I know it's a very boring game. Wilbon is going to crush the game. Wilbon called the middle of the game, said, I hate this. It's just so awful. I know it's a very boring game.
He likes defense.
Which he won't cop to. But the fact of the matter is, it's a game where you marvel at Belichick. You marvel at the Patriots. The Patriots were not that good this year.
Yeah.
They were not. And this team, the Rams, were. And the Patriots have now, they beat the Chargers. They beat the Chiefs twice.
Yep.
They beat these guys. They beat all the high-scoring teams.
But
they beat them all.
Look at what they – I mean, you saw this a couple times when he wasn't throwing it to Edelman. They have Gronkowski, who's clearly not what he once was. Brady is 41?
41.
Yes, 41.
Chris Hogan could not get open. No. I mean, he could not. No. They had
0 for 10, yeah.
They have no deep threat. They never threw it. Was Philip Dorsett active?
I don't know. He was not targeted.
So they had a first-round pick in Sony Michel, and they have Brady, who's obviously the greatest of all time, but is 41 years old. How the heck does that team win?
And Romo... stepping sort of a little bit out of character, and I thought completely justifiably, just looked at them and said, we're never going to see this
again. That's right.
We're not going to see it. And in fact, the note that I took is there are six guys who are quarterbacks of great stature, who are old quarterbacks. There's Brady, Rodgers, and Breeze, who are the best of the three.
Sure.
There's Manning, Roethlisberger, and Rivers, who came in together, mm-hmm. and other than Rivers, they have a lot of Super Bowls. And I think, this is the business I have chosen, to just say it's over. I'm going to say, other than Rodgers, I don't think any of them are getting, even Brady, I think this is it. I think the Mahomeses of the world and the Mayfields of the world and the Goffs of the world, Russell Wilson,
Josh Jackson?
No, not Josh Jackson and not Colt Lamar McCoy. Jackson necessarily. I think they're going to ascend, and I think this is it. But it's been a run for 15 years.
Yeah.
Are the quarterbacks. I mean, you, Peyton Manning clearly, but he got out. But those are the
Since 2002, six Super Bowls. I mean, it's just
because they not only don't reward you with draft choices.
Correct.
They give you a harder schedule. They give you the first place schedule.
Right.
It's much harder.
The numbers, the AFC championship, the appearances in the AFC championship game, the number of AFC East titles. I mean, it's just the sort of stuff with basically, other than Brady and the kicker and Belichick, Gronkowski and Randy Moss
They should have been up, but Welker's a great player. Yeah. Welker will make the Hall of Fame.
And Edelman might.
I don't know about that, but as
not on his regular season.
As Giselle says, my husband can throw the ball, cannot catch the pass, too.
So true.
So you just look at this and you go, it's amazing. They're great. I know people hate them, justifiably in a lot of levels, but they're really, truly great.
So their schedule next year, the Patriots, I believe.
The hardest schedule?
No, it's actually one of the easier schedules but they play their division, of course, twice.
Right.
And then the division, I forget the crossover division, but it's they're on the lower, it's not a top half of the league schedule in terms of degree of difficulty. You can't really play that game in the NFL because you don't know what teams are going
to
do.
And look at this year where the five losses they have are to teams that don't even make the playoffs.
That's true. They did not lose to a playoff team.
And Tracy Wolfson asked Brady at
before
the end,
or after she was stampeded.
Oh my gosh, that was brutal.
That was scary.
My wife was like, what is going on? I mean, my wife who does not watch a lot, she's like, what is happening? I'm like, well, is she trying to get the interview?
She's being pushed. Yeah.
She asked him, is this it? And he said, no.
I don't see why he would.
For Belichick, and maybe it for Gronkowski.
Can I just say one other thing about Belichick? We've talked in the month leading up to this, what an integral part of their victories James White was, catching 1,000 passes and running the ball effectively. Complete nonsense. This is what Belichick does. We've talked about this for years. Whatever you think they need to do to win, he goes a different direction.
You can go through their running backs. Forget their receivers. You can go through their running backs. None of them are going to receive a single vote ever for the Hall of Fame. Yeah. And they all have touchdowns in the Super Bowl. They all have touchdowns in the Super Bowl, going back to Kevin Falk.
Yep. Going back to Antoine Smith.
Yeah, six different guys. You go, really?
Yep.
Dion Lewis.
Antoine.
Well, I mean, Burkhead.
Sony Michel may be a great player down the road.
Burkhead.
But it's possible that next year Belichick will say,
this guy.
And Burkhead had arguably in the Chiefs game, Burkhead hugely important at the end of the game. Yeah. Burkhead hugely important at this game. I mean,
they also line up that dude, Devlin. Like, no one even rosters
plows,
a fullback anymore. That dude just makes huge holes all day.
And this is the thing about Gronkowski.
Yeah.
That Gronkowski, if he's not catching the ball, is running you over.
And Romo talked about that last night. Yeah.
So,
he just, on that big play, that Burkhead play, they talked about Devlin and Gronkowski just crushing the two guys.
Belichick and Sean McVay, is ahead of almost everybody else. Not everybody, but ahead of almost everybody else. And Belichick took him to the woodshed. Yeah. They just did.
Yeah.
He said it. We got out coached. It's not on the players. It's on me.
He did. Interesting. Yeah.
That's the right thing.
Did you see one thing I just wanted to bring up that made me unhappy? Was happy Bill Belichick with his granddaughter at the end. Very unsettling.
Yes.
I didn't like it one bit. Now, the good thing was when they went to the granddaughter and they're, do you want to say anything? Total silence. So she's got those Belichick genes in her.
On to Cincinnati. If a kid had said that, it would have been the greatest of all time. So we'll take a break. We'll come back. Wilbon will join us. Wilbon was at the golf tournament yesterday in Phoenix. He took the red eye home. He hated the football game, so this may be testing. I'm Tony Kornheiser.
This is the Tony Kornheiser Show.
Let's do the bespoke post ad right here. You know what's in this holiday season? Selfishness.
Good.
Why buy an ugly sweater for a distant uncle when you can buy some awesome for yourself, specifically Bespoke Post's Box of Awesome? A Box of Awesome is my favorite way to treat myself every month. And it says, in my own words, describe the box of awesome items you have received. Everyone here has gotten them. Michael, could you describe some of the things we have received?
So we've been exploring the themed boxes for cooking and drinkware. So I have the cast iron Dutch oven. And this year I am pushing myself to learn how to bake bread.
And Gary, you've got stuff, right?
I've got the Moscow Mule kit.
Right.
From Bespoke Post, which is phenomenal.
Chris,
comes
did you
completely
get, with
I have the burlap sack.
I have the aging barrel.
So there you go.
Yeah, I mean, it's cool. It's, you know what's cool about it? It's not stuff that you'd probably go out and buy for yourself, but if you have it, it's
you'll
cool
it
and
use.
You use it.
Yeah. Yeah.
Visit boxofawesome.com, answer a few short questions that will help them determine the boxes that fit you best. Each box goes for under $50, but has more than $70 worth of unique gear waiting inside for you. The first of each month, you will receive an email with your box details. If you're not feeling that month's box, simply skip it. From barrel aging kits to limited edition cigars, weekender bags, classy dop kits, Bespoke Post offers essential goods and guidance for the modern man. To receive 20% off your first subscription box, go to boxofawesome.com. Enter the code Tony at checkout. That's boxofawesome.com. Code Tony for 20% off your first box. Bespoke Post, theme boxes for guys who give a damn.
You're listening to the Tony Kornheiser Show.
Normally, Nigel hands me a note, and I know who's singing the song. And I know that we have permission for it, and I announce the name of the singer, or the band they're with, or where they're from. I don't have any paper in front of me today.
This is Maroon 5?
No, it's not.
This is Travis Scott.
No, it's not.
Big
and
Boy.
It's not Big Bois.
This is called.
Yeah, I believe it's Big Boy.
This is.
No, it's not Big Bois.
Big Bois. Big Bois. Yeah, it's French, right?
He's terrific.
This is from Sydney born London based musician Carter Jr.
Okay.
And his real name is Sam McNeil. We identified him as Sam McNeil.
And that was bad?
Not the
well,
actor.
It's just not what his artist name is known as.
I didn't know that.
No, it's entirely my fault. So I'm going to play a couple songs from him today. But this is called 1-2-3. And it's just lovely.
It's a 1-2-3 song in the 60s
by
Len Barry.
Len Barry, that's right.
One,
yeah.
It's great. Michael Wilbon joins us now. He flew all night back from Phoenix. I will get to the Super Bowl. But I'm going to start with the Waste Management Open, the golf tournament that was on, where it was raining profusely. And the first, I mean, we'll talk about Ricky Fowler and avoiding another big-time gag, even though he, in fact, did gag. Did you get the sense, Mike, you were out there physically, did you get the sense they should have, you know, not postponed it forever, but till the rain ended, even if it meant going late and running into the Super Bowl? Did you sense it was unfair to the players?
No, Tony. It was the water was never gathering on the surface. There was none of that. There was no pooling or any of that stuff.
I saw guys squeegeeing greens though on TV. I saw.
They might have tended to them a little bit, but I'm just talking about walking around.
Okay.
There was no mud to have on your shoes. No.
Right.
I mean, it just wasn't. We're talking about the desert. So, you know, if you get a quarter of an inch of rain, even in a short period of time, it means nothing there. It was on and off, off and on. It was miserable when it was on, and then it would stop. And every time they would have said, okay, we're going to call this for a while, they would have done that for 5 minutes and put everybody back on the course, and it would have done it again. No lightning anywhere.
Right.
And it was just, you know, it was 57 degrees and misting. It was miserable, but, you know, nobody's miserable there. It's the biggest party in sports. I mean, literally, it's the biggest party in sports. It's unbelievable. People could think it's a Super Bowl, but it is not, because you don't have 100 and some thousand people at the Super Bowl. and usually in, you know, you're outdoors and people are, you know, indulging. And it's I'd like nothing I've ever seen. I'd never, you know, really been, because, you know, it's either the Super Bowl or the Phoenix Open. You can't really do both. And so my dear friend Robbie Petty, who is a member of the Thunderbirds, and it's the organization, Tony, that does a ton of sports charitable work, sports work, period, in Arizona. He's a member of that organization. So, you know, it was like royalty. I'm riding around in a cart. You just scream at people, get out of the way, homie.
Yeah, that's good. That's,
I, you know, you would have loved it. It would have been the perfect Mr. Tony treatment.
So, but I got the sense there was that ball that Fowler hit, which looked like a good chip, and it rolled off the green, and it rolled down the embankment, and it rolled into the water. That wouldn't have happened if it was not raining, right? What did you think?
No, when it's dry, it's even slicker. I mean, we're talking, again, desert. Think desert. When it's dry, it has no chance of stopping. When it's wet, you could get caught up in something. And I thought the rough, when I walked some of the holes, and we could cut across, you know, as soon as players stopped hitting, I was like, wow, this rough is really, no, I didn't think that was, I don't think people had a problem with footing. The problem was with just how do you keep your hands dry in that stuff? I don't know how you do it. Your caddy has a job. But Tony, I was upset. I was annoyed that on the broadcast, the part that I heard, which wasn't much, early and late, in the middle, I was there. They didn't explain that because of the wind and the rain, you can't generate as much speed, clubhead speed, or ball speed. And therefore, guys were hitting the ball to places the previous day, and then were 35 yards shorter on Sunday. They acted like, oh, you know, he's really short today. Huh? What? You guys played. You guys played golf your whole lives, and you don't explain that, like, every few minutes? I thought that was weird. But, you know, I was glad for Ricky Fowler. I know, Tony, most of the people there at that tournament, they wanted Ricky Fowler to win.
He's very popular.
Ricky Fowler is immensely popular. He's immensely popular there. He's had meltdowns there. He was reduced to tears either last year or the year before when he had the same thing that happened yesterday. And so I've met him. I don't know him. You know, I was sort of rooting for Gary Woodland. But Ricky Fowler is just, you know, he's impossible to root against. So I was glad I was there. I didn't care it was raining.
Yeah.
Because the Super Bowl was such a dog. It was such a dog, such a waste of time, waste of day. It was just a piece of garbage.
So let me.
Glad I did something else yesterday.
Okay, so I'm going to pass on Fowler and just go to the Super Bowl. I've sat with you for years and years and years and years. The one thing you bemoan more than anything else in the sport of football is the absence of defense. You always talk about the absence of defense.
That's right.
The Patriots put on an unbelievably great show of defense, orchestrated by the brilliant Bill Belichick and maybe the brilliant Brian Flores, maybe, because we're gonna get a chance to see him. They stifled the Rams at every single turn. They were where they had to be all the time as Belichick. This is a team, the Rams, that scored over 30 points a game. They got nothing. They got absolutely nothing. Brandon Cooks dropped a touchdown, but they really got nothing, and you have no appreciation. I'm not saying it wasn't boring, because it was boring.
That's not my analysis of it at all, Tony.
Okay.
I mean, I looked at that. I looked at the impatience of both those offenses, the impatience, the errors, the lack of creativity. Maybe they were scared. Maybe it was like the old days where the defenses were so imposing. I've seen great defensive efforts by the Steel Curtain in the Super Bowl. I love them. By my own Bears in the Super Bowl, loved it. I've seen defensive, you know, Minnesota Vikings, when they lost, they still had some great defense. I didn't see that. I saw a pass intercepted at the end of the game when the Rams had their only real chance.
Yeah.
And the pass was a dog.
Bad pass.
There's no amount of Belichickian thwarting that affected that. It was a wounded duck dog. And there were many.
Well, but there was a zero. It's a big blitz.
Passes over the middle. Skip them.
Yeah.
Like a stone in the water. What? I mean, I'm sorry. I don't.
Also,
I mean, I
also hit Gronk.
Take, but it ain't mine.
In the fourth quarter, you know, they get him the ball. He goes to Gronk. He goes to Edelman. He goes to Gronk. He gives it to Michelle, and then they run it out. The two great runs by Michelle and Burkhead. The great
it was one
runs.
Drive.
Yeah, yeah, that was
the Super
winning.
Bowl.
Yeah.
I expect to see more than one drive in a Super Bowl.
So you hated it?
It was a dog. It was a dog. I mean, what do I always?
And you had it right. You had the Patriots right.
I'm never going to bet against them.
You had it right.
I always tell you, I think Belichick is more important to the success of that team than Brady.
Yeah.
So you're never going to get me to dismiss them.
Right.
Or him.
Right.
But the
you
game.
Had it right.
God, are you kidding me?
But you're a guy
it's
who
the
hates
worst Super Bowl ever.
And you always say to me, I don't want to see 45-42. I don't want to see it.
I don't want to see 45-42. I don't want to see that dog by any score. That was a dog. It was the. You tell me a worse Super Bowl than that.
Oh, I'm sure there are about five that were worse.
You've watched them all. Give me one.
Wasn't there like a 16-3 back in the day?
But it's not just that. There have been games where people have won by 30.
Denver, yeah, Seattle, you know, was like 48.
Cowboys, Bills.
Then one team showed me greatness. Neither team. I mean, that was.
The one thing about the Patriots.
The guy winning his sixth, did it impress you?
The Patriots. This was the only one out of the nine. This was the only one that was decided by more than 8 points, and it was decided by 10. So the game
it would have been seven if dude doesn't yank that field goal.
There's always a certain amount of tension to it. You just hated it. Okay.
I mean, those are numbers you're citing me. I didn't see the level of play I expect to see in the Super Bowl. I'm sorry, was it my TV that was showing Tom Brady skipping passes over the middle to open receivers on the drive?
Yeah, he looked uncomfortable.
That was the defense that was rushing right at his feet, forcing him to get rid of the
ball
quickly.
There was one. Wilbon is right. There was one where he tried to throw it to James White, and it was a screen
The screens were terrible.
Clearly open.
He looked scared.
He looked like me throwing it. I mean, he threw it 1 inch into the ground.
Yeah. Yes. Then he lofted the beautiful pass to Gronkowski among three LA defenders.
Yeah, but that was fourth quarter. That's what he does.
That's what he does.
Yeah, it's the fourth quarter. I got to wait to the fourth quarter to see his game in the Super Bowl.
Right.
I watched the whole game. I never do that. I watched the whole game because it was in doubt to me until the fourth.
I tried to watch as little of it as I could. The only thing worse than the action were the stupid commercials.
And I loved about five of the commercials, which we'll get to later on this show, and we'll get to them on PTI. You always hate the commercials, though.
I don't hate them. I just find them, they've been praised for decades. When I finally stopped going, I went to 20 Super Bowls in a row, covered 20 in a row. And then when I finally saw the commercials, I was like, that's it? That junk? That's supposed to be impressing me? So lately, and then I think they've gotten worse. But I watched the game with people who are football people, season ticket holders, and people who are from Philly. My friend Jason Daniels at the Super Bowl party I watched with P.J. Tucker yesterday of the Houston Rockets, because the Rockets are in town. He's back in his old stomping grounds of Phoenix. I'm watching with professional athletes. I'm watching with people who know football. A football coach was in it. And people are like, what is this? What is this? I don't want to hear this praise. I don't want to hear it.
Oh, you're going to hear it from me. I liked it.
Was,
I didn't love it.
When people will try to spin this as a great game when it was.
No, it wasn't a great game, but it was that parts of it. No, parts of it were great. Parts of it, but it was boring. It was mostly boring. Let me shift gears and go to something on Anthony Davis's dad. Is Anthony Davis's dad tweeting out, "My boy will never go to Boston because of what Danny Ainge"? What do you do in that situation?
I mean, you know, it was interesting, Tony, talking to Paul Pierce and these Paul Pierce and Jalen were like, "No, wait, you got to call your pop and say, dude,
what are you doing?
Get off the Twitter. What are you doing?" But Tony, this is a very emotional, this whole thing, however it plays out, this episode is incredibly emotional and people, I don't know where this is going. I'm the only one who thinks this deal could actually be done. I seem to be the only person who thinks it could be done this week. Because I just think that there are enough things working against the Celtics. And if you're going to tell me that a bunch of teams have deals out there that are going to be better than three starters or four starters, all young guys, all who are starting in the NBA now to some degree, who are on rookie contracts, if you're going to tell me that New Orleans just has a bevy of offers that are going to top that, okay, I'll listen to you, but I don't believe that. And the Celtics now, there's a couple of things going on. I mean, Kyrie, plus if the father, I don't know that Anthony Davis feels like that.
How can you let your father do that without publicly saying?
You don't let you. He's a grown man. He didn't check. You think I'm checking with Matthew at any age for what I want to say? What's wrong with you?
Well, it creates such problems for his son, potentially.
Oh, yeah. Oh,
terrible.
It creates problems for his son. Tony, I was told by somebody who really knows this that Anthony Davis right now is just, his head is in his hands, and he's going, oh, my God, what is happening here?
Yeah, well, all right.
That's what I'm told about the situation. And, you know, we don't know what's going to happen. It's going to change the league. Whatever happens is going to change the current structure of the NBA. And I don't mean just the playoffs. I mean, it's going to change the direction of not just franchises, but it can change the direction of a conference and all sorts of things and high-profile players. And so it's, you know, this is going to be, with all due respect to Super Bowl follow-ups, there could be real news that comes down the pike involving some pretty famous people.
Yeah, that's the deadline's the 7th, right? Is that Wednesday, the
7th? Yeah, Thursday. Deadline is Thursday. I don't know what time. But, yeah. And Tony, you know, there are other things out there in the wind, but obviously nothing as important or as huge as anything involving the Lakers, LeBron, a top 10 player in Anthony Davis, maybe a top 5 or 6 player in Anthony Davis, and all the sort of, you know, the ramifications of that. Look, the Lakers are struggling right now, and LeBron took – did you hear the description of why LeBron missed Saturday night's game?
The only description I would get is because he wants to fire the head coach.
It was called load-bearing. It was listed as load-bearing or overload. I was like, what?
He's staying out until they can fire Luke Walton and give him the opportunity to hire his own coach, which is that's his move.
Well,
that's what he does.
Let me just tell you this.
Yeah.
If LeBron James and the Lakers miss the playoffs because they've miscalculated or he miscalculated, he and they will come under massive fire, and he will have earned that.
Yeah. Yeah, but he'll also fire the coach. All right, I'll see you later. Take a nap.
All right, I'll see you later.
Michael Wilbon's fantastically angry.
Hot.
He's so angry. He's totally dismissed the Super Bowl and wants to talk only about the NBA. And we're looking at that for the next 4 months.
Doesn't want 45-42. Doesn't want 13-3.
Doesn't want anything.
Maybe 24-21. Garbage.
Wants to tell you that he watched the Super Bowl with a professional basketball player. Okay. All right. I've watched it. I've been lucky. I've watched it with Jimmy Kimmel. So, you know, that's right. And I wanted to tell you about that. I will take a break. News when we return. I'm Tony Kornheiser.
You're listening to The Tony Kornheiser Show.
Here's a new ad. I'm reading it for the first time.
That's exciting.
What I like about it is not only is the typeface huge, but it only takes up half the paper. That's
a nice
great.
Helvetica.
Here's a quick and free way to finally stick to your New Year's resolutions. Start listening to podcasts on Spotify. With more than 150,000 podcasts, including many of the world's most popular self-improvement shows, you can learn how to balance a budget, balance your diet, and even how to feel balanced while meditating, even if you're also obsessing over when the cat was last fed. All podcasts on Spotify are free, and you can even download episodes for those times when you've gone off the grid, you know, to get that newfound balance in your life.
Some balance in your life. That's what it is.
We're going to have to correct that. To get all that. There's too many that's in that.
Yeah.
There's too many that's. I should have looked at this beforehand.
Yeah, probably a good idea in retrospect.
So get the year off right and start listening to podcasts on Spotify. I can recommend that, but before I said how good this copy was, I probably should have read this copy.
You're listening to The Tony Kornheiser Show.
I take it this is Carter Jr. as well.
That's right.
Carter Jr. is in England?
He is in England. He's an Australian-born artist living in England. And this song is called Lovely Lady. And Jr., by the way, it's not spelled out Jr., J-N-R. So that's, I'm assuming it's Jr.
J-N-R?
Yes. Carter Jr.
Interesting choice.
Yeah.
What's his name?
Sam McNeil.
And he doesn't like the name Sam McNeil?
Well, the artist...
Would you?
He performs under the name of Carter Jr.
Is Big Bois
available
as a name?
I think that was taken. I'm not sure.
Well, that's Big Boy, but is Big Bois taken?
I get all of the rappers wrong. I keep talking about Big Bunny and it's Bad Bunny.
Yeah, it's Bad Bunny.
Bunny and it's Big Bunny.
Tone, just quickly, I know you're going to talk about this later, but Travis Scott, you were a fan going in or you were a fan coming out?
It wasn't for me. I'll get to that later. All right, Michael, if people want to send in their music as Sam McNeil, a.k.a. Carter Jr.
That's right.
Does, and it's beautiful music.
It really is.
It's beautiful music. How do they do it?
Am I the only one that's thinking of the line from Les Mis, lovely ladies, with the song title?
Oh, yeah.
No, send us your music by emailing to Jingles. Don't look at me that way. Send us your music by emailing it to Jingles at TonyKornheiserShow.com.
Okay, is there any other announcements you need to make?
No, we have we have some great gear over at shop.tonyconservativeshow.com. Go check it out.
Wilbon hated the Super Bowl. He hates the commercials. Let me explain something. I've been to Super Bowl parties. A, you cannot pay attention to the game. You can't.
Yeah.
There's too much stuff going
on.
Not
conducive.
Which is why when I was done here yesterday hanging around schmoozing people at the bar, I went home so I could take notes.
That's right.
Two, the last thing on earth you pay attention to is the commercials at a party. You just don't. And he's crazy. Some of these commercials were brilliant, which we will get to later. It's just, he's going to do this today on PTI. He's going to just be negative about everything and then, in the middle of the week, talk about how the Republic will rise or fall on where Anthony Davis ends up.
Well.
And I'm going to have to... Really, I should walk today. I should just walk before we even get there.
Yeah, anyway. But Tone, the real story was the Kings-Hawks game.
Well, yeah, that's the lead, isn't
it? All right, when you have news, go ahead. Can we revisit the golf tournament?
Yes.
We'll
just start off with that. Yeah, we'll go to the golf desk. Michael, you got any thoughts on this?
I just want to say that the thing about Ricky Fowler was at one point, I don't know how he finished, he was plus five
at one
point.
Oh, he was pooping the bed.
Ricky Fowler has a history, a very, very direct and simple and etched in stone history of when he has a lead after 36 holes, a big lead, or after 54 holes, a big lead, which would be defined as three or four or more. He gags. He just gags. He's one of the most, among the American players, he might be the most popular player among his peers. Everybody loves Ricky Fowler. He does a lot of commercials.
Fans and players.
Everybody loves him. He goes out on the 16th hole, and he throws golf balls to everybody after his tee shot. He is really, really well-liked.
Got a prosperity aversion, though, doesn't he?
Yet, he's got a history. I think it was 8 or 9 in a row, right,
Michael? And he has a history of not being able to close at this tournament. And what you're alluding to is that most golf experts just say he's a handsome guy who's great with the fans. He's great on social media. Huh. He has all the talent in the world. He just can't win. So it's nice to see that narrative come to a close.
Although he needed Brandon Grace to hit it in the water.
Right, but that just shows you what is perilous about this golf course and the nature of where those holes set up in a final round. So you have Brandon Grace who's able to take the lead, and then once you have that lead, he drives it into the water on 17, which you've seen Fowler do in the past.
Yes.
He then has to work for a 5, and no, the real story here is to see how Ricky Fowler rebounded after one of the more bizarre rulings that you will ever see in golf, where he chips across a green, it runs down a green. I don't want to disagree with Wilbon too much, but you literally see the ball hydroplane. The ball is not able to grab the green at all. Now, a lot of pitches and chips were running out yesterday. He should have known that. I would have recommended you just try and protect a score there because it is pretty slippery on the other side. But the ball is at rest. He goes up to the green to see where he's going to pitch the ball, and the ball goes into the drink, and he has to take an extra penalty shot. Though the really confusing thing, even for the TV announcers who are experts when it's in this penalty area, is he never hit the ball. The ball was at rest. It goes into the water, so he's not taking a shot for that, just for the ability to take it out of the water and put it back down. Now, most players would be a little unsettled there. You could even see he's visibly, you know, shaken as he's trying to place the ball. He makes a great putt for 7, and he doesn't have a great hole after that and makes a really good par on the par 5. And again, Wilbon's saying water's not impacting play. They had to squeegee the green.
It looked like you were going into the Lincoln Tunnel.
Super Bowl was trash.
So Fowler goes in. Did he have a 6-shot lead?
5-shot lead, okay. Standing on the 11th tee. And right, he's well, just long left of the green.
Okay, but going in, he is 20 under through three rounds. Okay, so he's shooting 6-7 under a day, give or take. And this is how his first 12 holes went yesterday. He goes par, 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 double, par, 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 shoots a 37 on the front. Then he gets to the back, birdie, triple, which you just alluded to, bogeys the par three next one.
Yeah.
So he's five over.
So he is the,
and then giving it back at that
point.
He is the
first PGA Tour winner in the years that they've been taking these stats, so since, I think, 1983, to win with a double and a triple or worse in his final round of play. Now, if you look at the top 10, other players were over par.
Yeah.
Yep.
And by the nature of where he was in the final group, he was playing with the worst weather. And so certain birdie holes, like he fought to make a par on that par 5 13th, which was a very scoreable hole where you saw Grace have an easy birdie putt that gave him the lead. And in his group, only Kuchar was able to convert.
Can we talk about the other big golf story, Michael, of the weekend that I wanted your thoughts on?
Oh, Saturday's round?
DJT, Jack Nicklaus, and Tiger all playing.
Yeah.
Donald Trump reporting that Tiger shot 64. With him.
Wow.
64. So he's back. What he's going to win another major.
From
what
the whites,
tees
Tiger
do you think
going
the Tiger played from? Did he play from the pro tees or did he move up to play?
I bet he
did. Because Nicklaus has moved up. Nicklaus moved up years ago.
I don't know the answer to that. I would assume he played where they did, and I can't imagine Donald Trump played from the back.
No, you can't.
Good story this weekend in the New York Times about Donald Trump's golf game, by the way.
Okay.
What about it?
Yep. The photo is one of the more awkward.
It's so
pre-round photos you'll ever see.
Jack Nicklaus, sneaky short.
I didn't like his outfit.
It didn't
made him look shorter.
Yeah.
And Tiger, I mean,
Tiger's
Trump is big, and Tiger is tall, and Jack
Tiger's
looked,
not that tall. 6'1", maybe. Yeah. He's
well,
not that tall.
I mean, Jack looked like he was about 4'9"
well,
in the picture.
Well, he's not, but I mean, you shrink. We all shrink. Oh, what else would you have?
We'll go to college basketball, Mr. Tony, and another rough loss for the Bearcats.
Who did we lose to this time?
Albany. 64-50 now. A couple of silver linings in this.
There are no silver linings.
Well, you got some solid bench production finally. The bench totaled, let's see, that's 22 points. Most of the time,
you don't get.
Well, yeah. And this was the prop bet that most people had their eyes on. Of course, Reginald bet who would score more points, Caleb the Big Potato Stewart or the New England Patriots. You think, well, the Patriots just got 13.
Yeah.
Unfortunately, the Big Potato just came up with just 5 points.
Ooh. Two bad games in a row for him.
Yeah, it's tough.
We're lousy. Well, I love my school.
But not in last place.
But we're
place.
Not any good.
Not in last place.
No, because we're better than New Hampshire and Maine.
Actually, Maine's ahead of you guys now.
Yeah. We beat Maine, though.
Yes, but Maine. In the standings, they're just one game ahead. Up next, I believe it's Duke. Oh, no, I'm sorry.
We're not playing Duke.
Stony Brook.
Mm-hmm. I hate Stony.
Is that at Cameron?
No, that's at the Dr. Byley Court.
Oh, whoa.
Yeah. I hate that.
So same basic.
What else?
Phyllis is doing the game.
Yeah, Phyllis
is. Georgetown loses yesterday to Villanova. A tough loss for the Hoyas. And Maryland, I believe, lost on Friday night as well.
At Wisconsin, right? At Wisconsin,
yes.
Pretty
By
good.
By the way, in the Georgetown game, Jesse Govan, 0 points fouled out. Zero.
It's a blue toss.
13
I thought he's
minutes.
Your best player.
He is. He's a fourth leading scorer in the Big East. He scored 0. He played 13 minutes. He was in foul trouble the entire game. That was a very winnable game because one of Villanova's two good kids
he's out.
did almost nothing. And we still just didn't. We're
what
never going to win that game.
You had a better weekend than NC State.
NC State,
24.
They're ranked. Yeah. They're ranked. They scored 24.
Was the shot
points.
Clock broken?
They
it's
were
amazing.
Home.
47-24.
That's unbelievable. Yeah. It's the lowest amount of points ever since the shot clock. They shot like 12% from the floor.
Yeah.
Just horrendous. They're a ranked team.
Yeah.
That can't happen. That was terrible.
It happened.
What else?
Some NBA trades, Mr. Tony. The Knicks trade Kristaps Porzingis to Dallas for a bevy of players.
Yeah, I don't care anymore. Wilbon just poisoned the well on that.
Okay.
Can't talk about the
NBA.
NBA
season, Tony. Yes, this is when you turn to the NBA.
Terrible trade. Terrible trade for the Knicks.
We'll turn closer to home.
The Knicks trade was stupid.
Yep.
Yeah.
The Knicks trade is so stupid. it's so stupid.
Well, they've got to clear out that cap space so they can get Durant and Irving.
You're presuming that these guys are going to come to New York, and you need to tell me why.
I will say this as someone who was in the Garden last weekend for the Terps game against Illinois. The gift shop in Madison Square Garden, I was shocked to see as many Rangers Gretzky jerseys as anything. They're still selling Gretzky's Ranger jerseys.
Well, that was a big time, wasn't it?
As many as Porzingis or Any of the current
what else?
KP6?
Yeah. To the Commonwealth of Virginia.
Yeah, what is this? That's Chris is here. Let Chris take this. Yeah.
Take it, Chris.
Is this guy going to resign? He's yes. told two different
Chris,
stories.
Chris, you've been saying that for 3 days.
I did say he'd resign by the end of the weekend, so
you said he
that.
Wouldn't survive the weekend and probably not Saturday.
I said, yeah. Yeah.
Did you mean last
back
Saturday?
Back to you, Gary. Look, every Democratic elected official in the country basically is calling for him to resign.
Have Warner and Kane?
Yes. It happened Saturday night. Warner, Kane, and Bobby Scott, the African-American member of Congress who is an ally of his, called on him to resign. He's holding on at this point. But it's not possible. You can't.
Not possible.
He will go, and I think Justin Fairfax, Lieutenant Governor, a 39-year-old African-American guy, will replace him. And that will, I think, allow Justin Fairfax to be the governor for 6 years.
Because you can only be allowed to run.
Yes, because you're term limited, but only when you get elected. Virginia has the dumbest law in the country. You're limited to a single term as governor. So you...
As an elected governor.
But so he will serve the remainder of... presumably, will serve the remainder of Northam's term and then be able to run, I believe, for a term of his own, which is somewhat remarkable. Yeah, no, he's... there's a great scene in The Simpsons where Homer is beating up the guy who's basically the Hamburglar, and he's just kicking him and kicking him, and one of the people are like, "Stop! He's already dead." That's Ralph Northam. Like he may not know it yet, although he should. I mean, he held this meeting reportedly last night with African American supporters of his, and no one, I think, was like, "You definitely should stay in the governorship." I think he's just clinging on under, you know, he's in a bubble.
Can I ask?
His wife thinks that he should stay.
This is the question that I have. I don't know if he's in the picture. He said he was in the picture, then he said he's not in the picture. I don't know about that. What do you mean? You never bought the yearbook. You never saw the yearbook. This was done to, what are you talking about?
Strange credulity.
It feels to me like if you had never taken a picture in either blackface or with the Klan robes on, you'd probably remember.
But you've never taken a picture.
Right. Like if somebody showed me a picture and it's like a guy in blackface and a guy in Klan robes, and I'm like, "Is one of those two people you?" I'd be like, "Definitely not."
No, I've not done that.
I wasn't like, "You know what I should do? Take a picture in Klan robes." I mean, this is what I'm saying. Like the idea that he said, "Well, I thought it was me because it's on my page," but then we talked about it in the yearbook pictures were moved around. What are you talking about? Why did you say that it was you then?
Yeah.
Well, I admitted to that murder, but I just did it because, you know, I just felt like the right thing to do. I actually didn't do it. I mean, it just doesn't make – he wasn't going to survive this anyway politically. But the saying he did it and then now saying actually it wasn't me is just – it's ridiculous. And then as Gary points out –
why would somebody put that on a page where all of the other photographs are him?
Yes.
Correct.
Why?
Oh, there's a lot of mix-ups in the yearbook. As Gary points out, the best part of this, saddest part, is when someone asks him – because in the press conference, he says, it wasn't me. Now, that said, I did darken my skin for a dance competition in 1984 to look more like Michael Jackson, and that a reporter says, "Can you still do the moonwalk?" And as Gary noted, for how long do you think?
Yeah, a second and a half. And
he looks around
like he's sizing up the room. Like, is there space for me to get my moonwalk on? And his wife, thank God, says inappropriate circumstances. And he sort of chuckles.
And then he's like,
super inappropriately.
It's what is wrong with you?
My wife said, I mean, if his wife isn't there, dude is moonwalking at that press conference.
Yeah. He's totally right.
That would have been a good look.
I mean, I guess it's just what happens in circumstances in which you were under extreme stress. But it's like, what are you
doing?
Maybe
you're giving him the benefit of the doubt.
So anyway, he's done for.
Was he Terry McAuliffe's handpicked guy?
He was his lieutenant governor.
It was handpicked, Rock.
And just as a final note on that, who did he beat in the election in November?
Ed Gillespie.
So if Ed Gillespie's campaign manager, doesn't he have to have a conversation with him right now?
I will tell you, I know we got to go, but I will tell you, I got an email. I got three emails from Virginia Republicans saying basically how the expletive did we not
how
find
in the
this?
World?
Because that rolls out in October. and it's over. Yeah. I mean, it's over wins. Again. Yeah. Ed Gillespie wins.
And if I'm not mistaken, that is a college inside Virginia.
It's VMI, the Eastern Virginia. No, he that's went VMI college. Undergrad. This is
so he's not a kid.
This
he's
is the other problem.
25
he's in
years
his mid
20s.
I think he was 24.
Eastern Virginia Medical School is where that came from, and that's you've hit on it. He wasn't going to serve any, but if he's 14, 15, maybe. You're in your mid-20s, dude. Yeah. And again, you remember if you took a picture in Klan robes. Yeah. I mean, come on.
All right, so we'll get out of here. We'll have Old Guy when we return. I'm Tony Kornheiser.
This is the Tony Kornheiser Show.
Go ahead and turn that speaker to the right. This is your Sonos home sound system, Reed. Dad, you have the Playbase, which will put you at the center of all your favorite TV shows and movies. Plus, it plays music. So how did watching The Big Game on your...
It's good. It's good. We had a lot of good sound. I enjoyed it.
Did it really let you just hear the enthusiasm in Nance's voice as he got to see that record-setting punt?
Certainly Romo's voice. Yes, Nance was happy about that. Well, Nance knew that the first half, it was a dog situation.
The Playbase could not be easier to set up. It is as easy as opening the box, connecting to Wi-Fi, and if you have a father like mine, you just have to deal with some slight maintenance every couple weeks when your child sets it to zero and he no longer can hear anything.
Like the Nigel board.
We have the we have the Sonos One speaker at our house, and it's great. We keep it on our kitchen counter, and it is with us throughout the entire day. It's there when Bootsy's having breakfast in the morning, and he's listening to the Beat Bugs, if you want to hear his playlist. Yeah. And it's there when we're doing dinner prep at night. And what's even better, it is easy to set up, and it looks good, too, on the counter, so you don't have this big, bulky speaker that is an eyesore.
I don't have one of those.
We can get you
I'd
one.
I'd like to have one of those.
And this is
does
great.
Does it connect us? Because I want everything in my life to connect to Alexa.
It does connect to Alexa. And
I
through
say,
Alexa, it is then paired.
You saw the Alexa commercial.
Yes.
Yeah.
Through Alexa, it is then paired with whatever music service you subscribe to. And I don't know if you're like me, but when I'm talking to my Sonos One speaker, I always change my voice because I think it responds to just affirm, Alexa, play Beat Bugs, help. All right, so sound system of your Sonos is fantastic. I use the voice control, easy to set up. To learn more about Sonos and all of their home sound systems, go to Sonos.com. These are great, and they allow you to build your Sonos system as you want to make more rooms connected and synced up. So go to Sonos.com. That's Sonos.com to learn more.
Good job, Michael.
Hey, thanks, Dad. Wasn't my best.
You're listening to the Tony Kornheiser Show.
Old Guy Radio for the day is Fleetwood Mac. This is from the Rumors album. Am I correct?
That is absolutely correct.
And we're
correct.
Playing this because of a date in history.
Rumor. Yes.
50 years ago or something.
The album Rumors was
wasn't
released.
Wasn't Bill Clinton a big fan of
Fleetwood Mac? This was
Mac?
Like this don't stop thinking about tomorrow
all the time. Yeah. Yes, yeah. This became famous for that. But yeah, this album was released by Fleetwood Mac on this date in 1977.
So that is 42 years ago?
Yes.
42 years ago. Fleetwood Mac has the tallest British drummer in the history of the world, right? Isn't he about 6'7"?
Isn't it Mick? Isn't Mick Fleetwood the drummer?
Yeah.
Okay, let's see how
isn't
tall he is.
About 6'7"?
Oh, no, yeah, he's a tall drummer.
Program weight.
Yeah. Yes. He and his wife, you know, formed the group.
That's like David Gregory size.
This, by the way, this song was written by, and everybody was
Adam
the
Bill Levine Clinton listed song. 6 feet. I didn't believe that.
Christine McVie wrote this.
Well, that they're married.
After her separation from Fleetwood Mac's bassist, John McVie.
Oh, then he's not the drummer. Who's the drummer?
Mick Fleetwood, 6'5".
6'5",
and
okay.
He is the drummer.
He's big.
Lindsey Buckingham, 5'10".
Yes.
Stevie
yes.
Nicks, 5'1", well, just in case. You
and
didn't
that's
ask.
All she is 5'1"?
Wow.
Stevie Nicks?
Someone named Neil Finn, 5'10".
Wow. No, but he's big for...
Yeah, he's a big cat.
For those who don't know, sneaky tall at 6'2", right?
6'2¾".
6'2¾".
He's
right.
Almost 6'3". All right, so let me get
180.
To... Let me get to some of the things that I wrote down last night. First of all, I did go out. Michael and Liz and the baby boy went out to the beach on Friday, so I dutifully went out there on Saturday.
Just to ruin the weekend for them?
Yeah, for baby boy Bootsy Beach Day. Can you just describe taking him to the sand?
He loves the sand, and it actually snowed. We did not think there was going to be as much snow out at the beach, so he had a great time just kicking up the sand, chasing seagulls. Yeah. Cool. And climbing all over you on the couch.
Yes, which were very, very nice. It's so odd because Chessie goes up to the baby boy and forcefully licks his face, which half the time scares the baby boy and half the time doesn't unnerve him at all. But Jesse has a bark of, in essence, I'm here too, and pay attention to me, and I really like you, and you need to like me, which is reserved for Liz.
Oh, really?
Yes, reserved for Liz. You've noticed this, haven't you,
Michael? I think it's because Jesse respects Liz as the head of the house.
Yes.
Recognizes the alpha.
Yeah,
the alpha.
That must be it. And Jesse is always following Liz, and Liz just is, what do I do? I can't stand the sound of this. And none of us can stand the sound of it anymore, but it is a bark of friendship. It's an absolute barker. It's not, I want to go out. It's not, I want food.
No, it's like, hey, look
it's
at
no,
me.
It's no, come on, let you know, pat me. You know, I'm the dog. Anyway, let me get to the game and some of the commercials. Let me get to the halftime first. I hated the halftime.
No, yeah.
I absolutely hate. In fact, I wrote Chris a note during the halftime in which I said, this is so bad and it feels pre-recorded.
Yeah.
It feels like it wasn't even live. And I like Maroon 5. I was unfamiliar with the other fellas and don't know don't have any idea what they're doing. But then Adam Levine, why are you taking your clothes off?
That was weird.
Why are you doing that?
That was weird. Although his body did give me an idea for the mural downstairs. Yes. Oh, sure. Could maybe do like the Levine.
Suns out, guns out.
Am I the only one who didn't like it?
It was a dispassionate performance.
He seemed very disinterested. No, so much fire.
This pleases me because I'm watching it and I'm like, this is just terrible.
Terrible.
It's dreadful. But then I said, well, no, you should really give it a chance. Sit and watch it. And I tried to. And I said, no, I can't.
You know, Adam Levine is a great musician. And Maroon 5 just has the ability to create these earworm songs that dominate top 40 radio.
Yeah.
And when you see that performance, it just reminds you, like, oh, my gosh, it sounds like you're sitting in the waiting room at the dentist for 5 years just listening to these nonstop hits.
I didn't like it at all.
Kind of guy who strips down like that? The kind of guy who has California tattooed on his stomach. What?
I mean, Conor McGregor likes to take his shirt off all the time.
Yes, I guess if you're ripped. What do you think Adam Levine's net worth is? I just looked this up.
It's going to be
$65 million.
90.
Okay.
Yeah. Well, Big time TV show.
Did you like the?
No, I thought
and
it was
went on forever.
I like Big Bois, but he's an ATL. He's an Atlantean. But they call themselves
from Atlantis.
Yeah. Anyway,
he's from the ATL.
He's one half of Outkast.
I like the other half. I like Andre. Is it Andre 3000? I do.
Yeah.
I think he's funny and talented.
But Big Bois fur coat.
I like the car? I like the 82nd versions. You know, like I like that it's just like it's essentially an extended medley. Like they're not playing anything full throttle, but I don't.
Were they live? Were they playing?
Yes. I didn't sound like it, but I believe that they were.
Did anybody like this?
No, because Levine sounded like he couldn't really hear himself to start.
I agree.
But that was nonstop fire.
The history of Atlanta rap, and that's what you get. You get the safest choice in Adam Levine.
But that was he was criticized for saying yes. They were criticized for saying yes.
There was a lot of controversy.
Right. Well, there was controversy that Big Boy and Travis Scott agreed to it, given the Colin Kaepernick stuff. I mean, that's a whole other.
How does Colin Kaepernick cast this shadow on everything and everybody?
Because there's a view that he is being discriminated against.
Well, he is being, but anyway, okay. So let me get to some commercials, because I do, unlike Wilbon, I thought some of the commercials were really, really good. I loved the entire platform of Bud Light. And I love the fact, now I have no idea what corn syrup is. I don't. I think that corn syrup is used in almost everything that we eat.
Right. Yes.
Bud Light has decided to kill Coors Light and Miller Light, and brilliantly, by saying, hey, we've got your corn syrup here. When did corn syrup turn into poison?
I don't know that you want to go at the corn syrup lobby.
What happened to corn syrup that it's so bad? But Bud Light, they do. I used to like the Budweiser ads. I don't like them anymore nearly as much as the Bud Light ads. And I don't really, using Bob Dylan to promote a wind farm?
Yeah, it was like, come on.
About the using of that ad.
Yeah.
Question about the Bud Light ads. So in my house, Spike had put together like 3 pages of prop bets. Everyone in the family put $5 in a pool.
Right.
We all sort of pick a side for a point each. And one of them was more car ads or more alcohol ads in the first half.
That's a good prop bet.
And it ended up being,
I would have said alcohol.
It ended up being 5-5 if
House takes the money.
You include the what I considered the Game of Thrones promo as a Bud Light ad.
That was odd to me.
That was a really weird synergy. Combo. Yeah. So what would be the verdict here? Is that a Game of Thrones
HBO
promo?
Yes.
Yes.
100%.
Yes. Right? Music, the dragon.
Yes.
Yeah.
Everything.
Well, I lost the vote.
I loved, there was a very early an Olay ad, which I liked a lot. It was
skin
very
of a,
weird.
Skin of a killer skin.
Yes, it was really weird.
Yeah,
and
a little
I
horror movie riff.
That. I didn't know what the... Chance the Rapper was with, in something for Doritos.
With BSB.
Fiery Hot.
Oh, yeah, it was...
Throw you, Michael.
Doritos are... It was okay.
I like Chance.
Yeah,
he's winning.
It was okay. He's a his dad is a, grew up with Wilbon in Chicago.
Yeah, they're Chicagoans. Yep.
I loved the Stella Artois ad.
Yes.
With Sarah Jessica Parker and Dave
the dude.
And what she says, because it's expected through Sex and the City, she's going to order a Cosmopolitan.
Right.
She correctly pronounces Stella Artois. And then Jeff Bridges walks in. What did he say?
Artois. Brilliant.
White Russian? Give me one of those. Stella Artois. And it was great.
That was
great.
That really was good.
It was great. Yeah, that was, for me, that was the that best was ad. I liked...
The Expensify?
I didn't understand what
that
was.
With 2 Chainz?
Yeah, with 2 Chainz. I don't know what Expensify is.
How about the NFL 100 Years ad? I was just happy to see Gurley make a couple plays, which he did in that spot.
Hey, he's not hurt.
I love the Jason Bateman.
Loved it. Yes. That was
where
my
he's
favorite.
The elevator operator. Yes. I loved
now,
it.
Now, the vegan's not happy about that ad.
What?
Not a vegan.
He took a shot of vegan food and they, you know, the
beet loaf.
Hey, live with it. Live with that. Yeah. Come on,
he's
now.
Great. Yeah. He's great.
That was great.
Very fun.
But in comparison, I did not like the Steve Carell ad for Pepsi at all.
Yeah.
Because the Jason Bateman ad set the bar really high.
Well,
so
as someone
like
pointed
that.
Out, Pepsi does that stuff every year, and still no one wants it over Coke. So they should just save
I didn't
their money.
Realize. Kristen Chenoweth was in an avocado ad. I didn't know how it got to avocados.
Yeah.
And I'm always, and I'm not an avocado guy. So,
right, it's not your thing.
You know. So
how about
the Michael Bublé for Bubbly?
I thought that was
okay.
Funny.
Did you it not, was all right.
Did you like the Harrison Ford one with the dog and Alexa?
Yes, with Alexa.
Yeah, the dog just kept ordering.
I like the Alexa hot tub. That could work.
Did you see the Burger King ad with Andy Warhol? The
yes.
Eat Like Andy
Didn't
ad.
Truly understand it.
What is
didn't
the, what is
was
the target
Was that actually
there?
Andy
yes,
Warhol?
Yes, it was.
That is,
I thought, why
it's
they
footage.
Why do they have an actor
I mean,
playing Andy
dude
Warhol?
Dude died 30 years ago. Who are they targeting? No one knows who that is.
And apparently the irony is...
There was one ad that I really liked for a car, the Telluride.
The Kia.
Wow. Yeah. That was
Did you like the Audi
ad?
Audi was pretty cool.
Audi was all right.
Choking one? That was it?
Audi was all right. But the Telluride, I wanted to say that, you know, I would go get that. Charlie Sheen was in one with A-Rod for Planters Peanuts, which I didn't particularly like, except I liked Charlie Sheen's
line. They called me nuts.
They said I was nuts.
That was good.
And I liked it.
That
and
good.
I thought, A-Rod, what?
Yeah.
What are you doing in this?
Didn't need to have
professionally handsome.
How about the T-Mobile text thread ads?
Enjoyed them all the way down the line. But I wouldn't get T-Mobile.
Okay.
It wouldn't work for me. But I enjoyed them all the way down the line. So Wilbon hated all the... How could you hate them all? I mean, some of them were pretty
were
good, right?
Haters.
I was disappointed again.
You are a hater.
I didn't see them all, but was it a monkeyless commercial?
I didn't see any monkeys.
I did not see any monkeys.
That's a miss.
Now, I only watched from the beginning of the game to the end of the game. I did not see any
monkeys.
That
would be the entire game.
But I mean, some people pay to have their commercials in the pregame or the postgame.
How about Bumble, the Serena girl power? I'm a softie for that, I guess.
Okay.
I got a daughter of that age.
What about the Washington Post?
Great.
Did you like the Washington Post?
Washington Post was a very good
I thought it was really well done.
It was pretty good.
And that they didn't make it all about the Washington Post.
And then Dodd Jr. crushed it on Twitter.
I didn't expect it in a national commercial.
Right.
I
was curious. They got Tom Hanks to voice that.
Yeah.
I thought Gilbert Godfrey probably a better choice for that.
Yeah, Cardi B.
I like Cardi B.
Yeah, she was good in the Pepsi ad. I thought.
I will say this though, and Gary, I think you watched this as well. This was.
But I need to find out about corn syrup. We need to find out. Is it
corn
is it,
syrup?
It's terrible for you.
Is it not in everything?
Yes, it is in everything.
Yeah, but you've got to avoid it at all costs. It will kill you dead. But this was.
But it's in everything.
Yeah, so just don't eat anything.
We're all dying slowly, Tone.
You'll be fine. I don't know what.
Let me ask the trainer. Is it? It's corn syrup terrible? I don't know. Is a good
answer.
That's the
professional good answer.
I'm a tattoo artist in the LA area.
Yeah. What was the thing that Peyton Manning and John Malkovich did?
So the YouTube, the 30-minute pregame show that precluded the actual broadcast. I think the broadcast maybe started at 6:30 or 6:25. Was like a YouTube pregame show. The open to that, just Google Peyton Manning, John Malkovich Super Bowl open. It was like a 4 or 5 minute open, which was great.
It was hysterical.
Peyton Manning at his act at his thespian best.
Yeah, I thought that was the highlight of all of them.
That was great.
Why were there so many robots in ads?
Oh, yeah,
is that just like there's like somebody being, and I don't know, it just felt like there was a lot of like robot jokes, like, hey, robots can't. Did you see the one where it was like, robots can do everything better than us, but they can't make friends? Oh, good. Well, when the robots rise up and murder us all, right. I'm sure they're going to have like remembered that.
Oh, the one other one, is it ASMR, the whispering Michelob?
Did you see that one?
Ultra, I don't think I saw
ASMR.
Oh, yes, I didn't particularly like that.
Where she's out in the
I didn't
jungle.
Understand
that's
it.
Well, that's a whole new thing
I
here.
I didn't understand it.
My kids are in it.
The whispering thing apparently brings some people like pure elation. That like whisper. It's called auditory. We can find
stimulation.
It. It's
yeah.
a thing. Also, that
well,
was Lenny Kravitz.
Plus, I don't have good hearing.
No, that's Lenny Kravitz's daughter. That's Zoe Kravitz from Big Little Lies.
That I did not know.
Yes. Who was doing those?
She's a great actress, yeah.
They had two microphones there.
All right, I'm done.
That.
My
Let's
dream.
Get out of here. We will have a jingle and email when we return. I'm Tony Kornheiser.
You're listening to The Tony Kornheiser Show.
The Tony Kornheiser Show.
This is the restaurant that I've always dreamed of, a place for my podcast. I bought this place and that's the last I've seen of my cast.
Very good.
We'll make you breakfast, lunch, and dinner too, or just a great boy snack.
Wings, I'm recommending wings.
We'll serenade you with a big leaf blower to keep you coming back. Whoa, whoa, I made a living being smart and funny. It brought me stacks and stacks.
That's true, and it's gone now.
I bought this place, and that's the last I've seen of my cat.
The lyrics are by Bill Bardo. The vocals are by the great John Fitzpatrick.
I mean, I'm going to have that in my head.
It is a tribute to the economic juggernaut that is Chet.
The only thing.
Before we get to the mailbag, let me thank a very cranky Michael Wilbon this morning.
Garbage!
Let me thank our sponsors, Bespoke Post, Spotify, and Sonos. Remember to listen and subscribe to new and archived episodes of the Tony Kornheiser Show wherever you listen to podcasts, including Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and Google Play. And if you listen to the show through iTunes, please leave us a review. From Shad, a haiku, Brady is mortal, defense is real boring, and corn syrup is bad. That is my takeaway, too. Is it that terrible?
Yeah.
Mike in Burke, Virginia. Chuck Todd said the Giants were favored in Super Bowl 35 against the Ravens. This is what you might call wrong. Ravens open as a one-point favorite. We're bet up to a three-point favorite. You could look it up. He didn't. You didn't. But you could.
Hmm.
Jim Flynn in Colebrook, Connecticut. Tony, what color lace was Saliza wearing when he referred to the woman who played Lady Mary in Downton Abbey? From Kevin Butts in Cincinnati.
Frilly.
The woman to whom I'm related to by mutual biological parents texted me Wednesday night saying, I'm meeting friends for a drink at Chatter. Is that the bar where they record that sports podcast you listen to? My only response was, it's Chatter. Oh, she said Chatters, no S, but at least you didn't say Chads. From Dan Stana or Stana. Any truth
Stana.
To the matter that the Haiku Baru is the official car of Shad and the show? This is apparently a giant ad for a Subaru with 5 seats in the front, 7 in the middle, and 5 in the back. Matt in Jacksonville. Sure, anyone can do a Monday show, but what's your Thursday show? I like whistling as much as the next guy, unless the next guy is you. All I could think about listening to Wednesday's show was, wow, you didn't even make it to Thursday this week. I never understand why everyone gives Saliza a hard time. Maybe we laugh at him, maybe we laugh with him. But what's the difference as long as someone is laughing? Slice of pizza and a Coke for lunch, left out of the driveway, left at the Waffle House, left at the next Waffle
House.
That
sounds really bright. Insightful.
John Austin in Oakley, that's from Oakley. He's a sales rep in Nebraska, Iowa, and South Dakota, where it is cold. Michael, 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 pick your battles, brother. Just change the damn battery and move on. That's right. That's my quip. Tom from Arlington. Yes. As an individual who splits Wizards season tickets, I feel qualified to say that any league where the Wizards can even smell a playoff berth has too many teams who make the playoffs. Hashtag eat it Wilbon. P.S. eat it Saliza.
Wow.
Double.
Jack Quigley in Byron Bay, Australia. Since we're doing general practitioner jokes after Tony's recent physical, I thought I'd share one. Doctor, I'm afraid it's not good news. You don't have long.
What
patient, how long
from,
do I have? Doctor, 10. Patient, 10 what? Years, months? Doctor, 9. Sort of funny. Rick Devens, or Devens, an anchor in Macon, Georgia, writes, I'd like to be the official survivor of the Tony Kornheiser Show.
He's
I'm appearing
be on, Survivor.
On Survivor's upcoming season.
All right.
The end of the earth.
Starting on a deserted island surrounded by strangers. Sounds right up your alley, Mr. Tony. I even throw in a few lechiseries.
Yes.
Wow. What? If any listeners want to root for a fellow little, they can tune in for the premiere February 20th.
Wait, what's his name again?
Rick Devens or Rick Devens. D-E-V-E-N-S.
Oh, from,
is an anchor.
That's the anchor from
Macon, Georgia.
Georgia.
And they had a preview a preview of it last night in the Super Bowl.
Well, we're rooting for him, obviously.
Absolutely.
Yes. Rory in Cleveland. You know, this podcasting business ain't for everyone. That's nice that you put together a good Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday show. What's your Thursday show? That's right. You ain't got one, putz. What Thursday show do I got? I'll tell you what I got. I got a whistling guy and an NFL reporter talking about Star Trek. That's right. You heard me. Whistling and Star Trek.
That is the podcast.
Try and keep with it, up with that, wannabes. From Dr. Fish in Broomfield, Colorado. I thought Mr. Tony would enjoy my odometer this morning. My neighbor is Ed Werder's father. Yes, that Ed Werder. This is 222.5 and at the bottom, 122.225. That's very, very good. On my way later to meet up with Ed Butt and other Colorado Littles in Boulder. From Kayla File, F-E-I-L. I've been a longtime fan of PTI, and whenever I'm not chasing around small children, I try to catch your podcast. I remembered how much you love number coincidences, so I have one for you. I am in the third trimester of my third pregnancy with my third boy. On my 30th birthday, I was exactly 30 weeks and 3 days pregnant with my birth date, February 1st, 0201, adding up to 3. I hope you appreciate that as much as I do. Much love from a native Marylander now trying to figure out life in the Pacific Northwest. And from Steve Clemenson in Edgewater, Maryland. Hey, Grandpa's Minions. Tony may like the moon. He may be over the top for the moon, but he really gets into Uranus. You're out of your mind, tag, everyone. As always, do wear white.
We're not going to be sunk this year. We're the Stanley Cup champions! Yeah!
Thank you.
Breathe, won't you breathe slowly with me as you lie on your back, count 1, 2, 3. And then dance with your fingers tied to me as we move our feet, steps 1, 2, 3. So hold me close, baby. When I hear you now, it's honesty. And be glad when we're old and half asleep as we're looking out for our 1, 2, 3s. So hold me close, baby, and take all my heart. And hear it beat. Thank you. find you there in my mind. You're there by my side. One, two, three. And she deleted you from her head, not out of disrespect. It's just a side effect. Healthy body, helpless mind, never ugly. God, each night he'd take you home.